With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Hiya.
And Joe Branton.
Every day.
Has everyone recovered from the quiz?
Just about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to bring up a couple of points.
Okay. So
last week was our second ever Guitar Nerds quiz. If you're new to the podcast, I do highly recommend it. If you can listen to two podcasts to get you into the kind of swing of what we do, listen to last week's episode and go back and listen to, what is it, episode 27?
No, I think it's episode 20.
Is it episode 20?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. Find it on the on iTunes or your podcast provider. Find the first quiz that we did, because that will get you up to speed on the sort of moronic nature of what we do with this podcast. And you'll learn stuff about guitars, hopefully, as well. But so last week was our second ever quiz. Matt Knight won it.
He did.
Landslide.
Yay.
I don't really understand how you did that, Matt, because, again, if people have not listened to the podcast before, you're not in this room. You join us from the internet.
Yeah,
so
and I didn't cheat.
I mean, that is unproven. Secondly, you are at a kind of disadvantage because of the bit of slight lag. So any
But I didn't allow any buzzer rounds.
That's true. There weren't really any buzzer rounds.
If I remember correctly, the only two opportunities I allowed for anybody to buzz in with the answer, Matty got them both.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing that he won the quiz. An impressive effort. But I do want to raise one thing. One of your questions...
I knew he wasn't going to let this go.
One of your questions was,
yes.
You were going... What was the round? Explain the round.
The round was... And I thought this was really good. I thought it was a genius idea to really push guitar nerdery to another level. We did the product ID number round. So there was like, you know, I didn't choose any of the obvious ones. I didn't say like, okay, I'm going to say the words TU3 and you have to tell me what that is and what company makes it.
Well, that probably would have been a good round.
What, if they were just all obvious ones?
Yeah.
They went to buzz in. Anyway.
That sounds like a terrible quiz.
LP100.
Like, so what was the question?
I asked a question. Are you making me publicly apologise? Because I'm not going to do that.
I want you to say I'm really sorry that you got the question correct, but I didn't give you the points.
Okay. It didn't make any odds because Matty crushed you.
It doesn't matter.
I think it does matter.
No, it doesn't matter because
I want these
points. I want it to be confirmed that I got the question right and you said it was wrong. What was the question?
I can't remember, to be honest.
The question was PX2.
Okay.
Which...
Line 6.
Which is, granted, a Line 6 power supply.
Yeah.
But also, I answered with Korg Pandora, PX2.
Which I believe is a now discontinued Korg power supply.
So is the PX2.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
the PX2 is discontinued.
There we go.
Technically, it wouldn't make any odds to Mark winning the quiz because I still beat him by an absolute country mile.
A what?
A country mile.
Good.
Tree mile?
A true mile.
Good.
What's 500 miles? PX2 was the old Pandora multi-effects, but the power supply is actually the PX2G.
There we go. See? So
well, there we go.
I need you to apologise, and then we can get on with the podcast.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
We can probably leave it at we all learnt something.
No, we can't.
I learnt nothing.
If anything,
I knew the answer to all of
really,
those questions.
Really, really, if anything, I should apologise to Matt for giving. I'm sorry, Matt. I have to take a point away from you because I said this product and you answered incorrectly because actually the product doesn't exist because it's been discontinued. So I apologise, Matt. I have to take a point away from you. Oh, wait. You still won the quiz by an absolute country mile.
This is horrendous.
But Matt, in all seriousness, I'm really sorry, mate. I'm sorry if I messed you around on that one. And hopefully, like, we can, you know, we can let it go.
You wait till my quiz.
Yeah.
Jay's going to get all the easy ones.
I demand satisfaction. We need to have a glove slap. Anyway, now that's out of the way. How is everyone? Matt Knight, how's your week been?
I got to see you lovely people at the weekend.
And Joe. And Joe was there as well.
And we had a dance.
Yeah. Jay cooked breakfast.
I did.
Joe hosted and filmed and Mark filmed and we did lots of videos.
We were going to try and record a podcast, but we ran out of time.
We would have had more than enough time had Joe not rolled in like an hour and a half after we had agreed to meet.
That is true. I did roll in late. But I thought that, like, you know, I was rolling in for breakfast being on the table time.
Anyway, we've had enough bickering already. So, Matt, we demoed a ton of pedals that are going to be going up on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/guitarnerdsvideos. Give us a rundown of what we did videos of and what you thought of them.
What did we do? So we did the Johnny Rock Gear Dyno
Range.
Dyno Range compressor. That was pretty good. It's a nice sort of vintage style compressor. What did we do? The Ramble Effects Marvel Drive.
That sounds amazing. That sounded absolutely banging.
So good.
You know, and they're like, I think they're what, $180? So like £120. And like, I think just absolutely amazing. And then we tried the X5 Golden Brownie, which was only what, €50?
Something like that.
€60.
And it sounded like equally as good. I was like, wow, this thing sounds amazing.
That pedal was incredible.
Going after a slightly different thing. It's not going exactly after a kind of modern.
No, it's going
Marshall.
For more of the kind of like really vintage, like high gain Marshall, I suppose, isn't it?
But it was incredibly built as well as you know, sounding great. It was a mini pedal, but with really substantial control knobs. Like they weren't.
Yeah,
those...
I think, and as I said, I think you know, you'll see in the video that, like, I think so often now people get put off by mini pedals because a lot of the time association with mini pedals is that they're cheap.
Well, especially now.
Well, this one is.
I know, but it's like, you know, you instantly assume, oh, it's cheap, so it's probably not going to be great.
I think the problem with mini pedals is someone has gone to the factories that they've been made and kind of like plundered them a little bit. Like, there are certain ones out there, even the Moore stuff, I think, is pretty well built. But then when you get kind of like sub the Moore stuff, things start to kind of go awry a little bit. But when they're done well, like this Golden Brownie, they're really, really impressive. I was kind of blown away. I'd plug that pedal in briefly here, but actually hearing it properly, stunning. Really good.
Yeah, really good. What else did we do? We did all the stuff from Cast Engineering.
Yeah, the
that
Cast Engineering
sounds
stuff.
Amazing.
What was that called? The Casper.
The Casper.
And what was it? Did we say that was an analog delay?
No.
Digital delay that sounds analog.
Yes.
But just like, just really impressive.
Yeah.
But like, once again, not like a pedal that I think most people would look at it and go, oh, maybe it doesn't, like, design-wise, maybe look as flashy as some other pedals out there and doesn't have, like, some crazy artwork on it. But it's one of those ones you plug in, you go, actually, this is definitely worth, like, all the money they are and more. Because they're not very much money. I think they're, like, £100, like that.
Just off the top of my head, they're, like, $120, something like that. Maybe slightly more. But it's got underlit knobs. What else do you want?
Yeah. And actually, the tremolo sounded really good.
Yeah. Tremolo's interesting, isn't it? The pulse drive.
Yeah,
because
it's got a gain boost on it, hasn't it?
Substantial gain boost as well, wasn't it? Like 20 decibels?
Something like that.
30 decibels.
30?
There was like proper, like, we had to like, well, I turned it all the way up and then overloaded the recording device. It's like, oh, actually, we've got to scale this one back.
Yeah. Yeah, that, even the drive on that sounded pretty authentic, didn't it?
And it's supposed to sound like an old Fender, and I think it kind of did have that sort of, it reminded me a bit of like the old the Fender Vibrachamp they did.
Yeah.
A little kind of like it's the overdrive when you really pushed it was like kind of like a 5-watt overdrive. You know, it was like sort of really breaking up like low valve power. But the Trem had that kind of nice sort of chop to it.
Yeah.
Like a proper bias tremolo.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not particularly smooth, the trem in there, is it? It's like it is quite choppy, like you say.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't remember what else we did. Now we got about did about eight pedals in the end, didn't we?
Did the other Cast Engineering the drive
that put that glittery purple one, yeah.
Texas Flood, which is
purple sparkle. That was...
If you're gonna make a pedal, make it in purple sparkle.
Yeah.
Or if you're gonna make a purple, make it in pedal sparkle. Which is what Tube Screamery, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose so. It's
but with
it's kind
loads
of like, didn't
more.
Really sound like anything else. It sounded a bit like a Tube Screamer, but yeah, I suppose going off that sort of Stevie Ray Vaughan sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, amp in a box. I hate using that term because everyone just describes something as amp in a box, but it's so difficult to describe drive pedals sometimes. That's got more top end in the kind of certain frequency range, and
definitely.
I'm always like, sometimes I'm just like, plug it in. It works.
Just listen to it. Did we do anything else?
A lot of drives. Did we do anything else?
We had a look at some other bits. So there was that weird tiny metal drive.
Yeah.
Metal distortion.
Yeah, we've got some more stuff to
do. The techno foo.
Oh, did we do the magnetic effects satellite?
Oh, yeah, we did the satellite. That was cool. That was the overdrive with the active EQ.
Yep.
There was a fuzz as well, wasn't there?
There was.
Yeah, we did do the fuzz because that was from Ramble. Was from Ramble
Effects.
Well.
So we're going to do another round where we do the what's that called? The solar bender, is that right?
Oh, and
twin bender.
It's got like controls, like biasing controls.
It has. That's why we left that out because we're like, we haven't had enough time to play with this. There's a lot more that we can get out of this.
Yeah,
so.
I thought actually the cool thing about that was there was an impedance control because a lot of the vintage fuzz pedals, if you put a buffer in front of it, they don't work very well. They like to just see basically guitar plug straight in.
Yeah.
So there's actually a control on the front to like try and dial out the buffer from pedals before so it changes the impedance coming in. So I thought that was quite cool because not everyone's going to have a fuzz pedal and then want to stick it right at the front of their pedal board. So
yeah, you might want to put a tune in front of it. Like, you know, if you put a TU3 in front of it, you've automatically got a buffer going
in. If you get a Wazzercraft TU3.
Well, you could, exactly. Just turn the buffer off. So pedal of the day that we demoed?
I thought the Cast Engineering Delay... as a real
really?
Surprise.
Over the Marvel?
Well, the thing is, I've already got one of them, so I was kind of like, I already knew how good it sounded. But the Casper was kind of like, I don't know, it's not that, I think it's wrong to say that it looked cheap, but it didn't look like a lot of other
pedals. It didn't
pedals
look like a Strymon. It didn't even look as snazzy as a carbon copy.
Yeah, but plugged it in, I was like, I mean, yeah, it's got the underlit knobs, which is kind of cool. But when you plug it in, I was like, wow, this thing sounds like, I was really surprised it was a digital delay. Like, we had to double check on the website before I actually said it's definitely a digital delay that it actually was because it sounded so convincing. I was like, yeah, they've done a really, really good job on that one.
Joe Branton, how about you?
Well, it's tricky. I mean, I think, the pedals, the best ones that we tried were between, I think, the Marvel, the Golden Brownie, and that delay. I think those were the best three. I'd probably agree with Matt. I think on the day, well, sort of in retrospect, I'm like, damn, that Marvel really did sound incredible. The delay has the advantage of being slightly more interesting. And I think, it was one of those things where I was, like, in the other room, and you guys turned it on, and you were messing around with the...
Oh, and you came running in.
Yeah, because it sounded incredible.
Yeah.
Like it sounded like a Mars Volta record when you were just like just moving the delay
completely. Completely,
it sounded great. It was a brilliant pedal.
Because you know how they sound, Mark, don't you? The Mars Volta.
Oh yeah, I mean, of course, yeah. I know that song.
I say they've only got one song and it's gone on for 5 hours.
The long one. I know the long one. Deloused in the Comatorium.
That's an album.
Okay, good. I think those the Cast Casper is a pedal that's going to be appearing on lots of boards very soon.
Do you know how much they were? Sorry to interrupt.
They're not very much money. They're like not far over £100.
And they're just made in the States, aren't they?
They are made in the States, yeah. I don't think anyone's bringing them in yet, so you buy direct from Cast. Jay, you were there for a bit. What did you hear?
I heard the...
You were there for the delay, weren't you?
I was there for... No, I think I went out to get
snacks. No, you were there for the day because you were definitely playing with it at one point.
Yeah, I think I helped you set up and then I went out to go buy snacks. I did the snack run whilst you did the...
You did a really good snack run.
I did do a good snack
run. And a really
run.
Good breakfast as well.
And a great breakfast.
Unbelievable breakfast.
Great breakfast. Those are my... That's what... Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering, like, I'm quite often the not quiet in terms of, like, the... volume, but like,
no, that's unbelievably loud.
Often the a little bit further. The reason is that I do great breakfasts, and that's why I'm kept around.
You're
great
thinking breakfasts. About how to make a breakfast.
Great breakfast and really handsome. Those are my main skills, I think.
Definitely.
But anyway,
one of those things is true.
Anyway, to go back to the second most important thing on the second most important question you asked me there.
Okay.
I really like the ramble. Yep. And I've heard the Casper before because you and I plugged it in when it first arrived.
Yes, we did.
And I really like it. I'm still not 100% convinced I would go for that over a carbon copy. I'd really like to spend a bit of time A-B-ing the two at some point. And I know it's difficult because the Casper is a digital delay.
I thought it was much brighter than a carbon copy.
I think we plugged it in against a carbon copy bright.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That would sort of allay that slightly.
I think that's a video we need to do in the future. Yeah. Those three. Or maybe the Casper, a carbon copy, and TC Electronic.
What about the Weser
Club? I was going to say that as well.
AD. Of doing like the blind pedal test, though.
Yeah.
We'll get the Casper and then we'll put some other delay pedals in. You have to kind of guess which one's the analog delay, because I'm sure that it will fool a lot of people.
I think so as well. I think that'd be a really, really cool thing to do.
We could do that on YouTube. I think maybe we'll just get people to guess in the comments which
do
is
maybe
which.
do yeah set it up with maybe like get an ES5 and set up four digital delays and one analog delay.
Yeah, we can do something like that. That'd be good. That'd be good.
I really, really like that. The Ramble, the Marvel Drive. I thought that sounded absolutely incredible.
Perfect punk rock pedal.
Yeah, especially as we were recording it.
Really?
I guess so.
It's a Marshall. I mean, I was just like listening to Matt play quite classically, and I thought it sounded incredible for that. Traditional, like
if you want
hooey sort of sound.
If you want like Green Day Dookie tone. Is that basically that pedal does exactly
that whole American punk rock thing was a JCM 800.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. JCM 800, JCM 900.
Yeah, you know. And JTMs and stuff before that. So,
but the thing that really impressed me about it was were we using your Hughes and Kettner?
Monitoring.
Having that at a bit of a low volume can. Even like in your flat, because we couldn't turn it up too loud.
No.
Sometimes drive pedals, when they're, you know, a little bit lower down on the amp volume wise, they can sometimes still sound a little bit, a little bit pony. But that didn't at all. At the low volume. I mean, the volume that we were playing at your house the other day, pretty much anybody, I would say, except me, because my flat is really thin walls and. Wooden laminate or laminate floor, but pretty much anybody could play.
It was quite acceptable, wasn't it? Yeah,
without getting in trouble from their neighbours. Yeah,
some of the other pedals really suffered from.
Yeah, absolutely. Really
Just a note to the listeners: even though we were playing quiet in my flat, that's not the sound that you'll hear on the YouTube demos.
No, you're hearing a direct feed through some processing wizardry. Jay Cross,
hello.
Have you been up to any other guitar stuff this week?
That was really loud.
What?
Your hello.
Oh, sorry.
I like this enthusiasm. It's good.
Yes, I'm enthusiastic. I put on a show this week. I put on a show. And what else did I do? On Saturday night, when you weren't here, Matty and I went to a show. We went to see a band of someone we used to work with. And I was looking at pedal boards, obviously.
Okay, cool.
And
name the band, describe what they are like, and what was going on their pedal boards.
Okay, so the show that I put on the other day was I put on a show for a guy called Jeff Rosenstock, who was semi-famous maybe like sort of at the turn of the decade. He was in this band called Bomb the Music Industry, and he's doing like a solo thing now. And I went and like watched them all set up, and they were just a three piece, but so guitar and bass and drums. And at one point or another, like so the guitarist and the drummer, sorry, the guitarist and the bass player both had synths.
What?
They wouldn't use them all the time, but okay. Like at various points in the set.
You mean like keyboard synths rather
yes,
than guitar?
Yes, I do mean keyboard synths, yes. And I was talking to the bass player and his setup was really, really cool. So he was running his... he had like a tele bass.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really cool.
What, a natural 70s one or the
I
modern
think
player?
So. I think it was a 70s one.
So
yeah.
A single humbucker right
yeah.
in the neck.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Really
I think that's what it was. I didn't ask him, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. He was playing that into he had a Hoof Reaper, is that what that's
yeah.
called?
Oh, yeah.
The earthquake
devices.
Yeah, he was
yeah.
using one of those. He was using a micro pog or a nano pog, and he also had a what's the little Korg?
Microkorg?
Maybe it was the microkorg. I think that is the word I was looking for. Not little.
Nanokorg.
Maybe it was. Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, just
mini
like
cork.
They just had a really, really good, easy setup. And he was splitting out into the bass amp, which was a Orange a Terabase 1000. And also he split into a an Orange CR60 or CR120
yeah.
as well.
That's quite a nice little affordable but really good sounding setup.
Absolutely, yeah. And it worked because there were a couple of points where the guitarist was not playing guitar, he was playing keyboard. And so when he was playing keyboard, he went through the guitar amp as well,
oh,
just to sort
cool.
of split it up. And I think that's a cool way to, it was just a very interesting way to sort of set up your band if you want to have keyboards but don't have enough mates.
Mm-hmm.
To have someone who plays keyboards in your band, you know, you just go and buy another amp and then you play that whilst your mate's playing keyboard.
That works.
Yeah, and yeah, it was really good. Really cool.
How about the other band that you went to see?
So Matt and I went to see this band. It's a band from Brighton called Blush. I think they are called
yes. Blush.
They're called Blush, yeah. And the one guitarist was using... an American Tele into a Blues Junior, and
just straight in.
Oh, really?
No, through a bunch of pedals. And I didn't see what she was using.
Is this Naomi's band?
Naomi's band, yeah, yeah.
I thought she was all Ibanez Superstrats.
No, she had a Tele into a Blues Junior. If you heard that band, you would not think it was Ibanez Superstrats.
No, I'm sure. No, I just remember that's what she was talking about.
Oh, okay. And yeah, the other guitarist. He also had a Tele, and he was going into a Classic 30 with like all the pedals. It was really funny. He was using like every pedal that you would have expected to see on like it's like he'd been listening to this podcast and
it sounds like they both it sounds like they
well,
both
yeah, maybe.
To their podcast.
So the guitarist on the other side was using like he was using a Salford. He had, I think if I remember correctly, his setup was TC Polytune, CS3, Soul Food, Electroharmonix Cathedral Reverb, because these bands always have an Electroharmonix Cathedral Reverb, and Line 60L4 into a PV Classic 30, and it sounded wicked.
I love PV Classic 30.
They're such great amps.
And so underrated.
Yeah.
Even though they're amazing.
I really like the, out of that series, my favourite was the Delta Blues.
115. Oh, yeah.
No, the 410.
Yeah, they did a...
Okay. So they did a 115 and they did a 410. And that 410, I love the 410 speaker configuration. I think it just... You get so much out of it.
I'm all about the 115.
The 115's cool. I mean, really what you want to be doing is you want to have one of each. And you want to be splitting into... Getting those low resonant sounds from the 410 and the top ends into that 15 just to...
And when is your next gig, Mr. Springsteen?
Who would have thought that of all the brands, PV probably do the best sort of Fender alike?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it?
It's good because it's got its own take on the Fender sound.
It's got a couple of really unique features and stuff.
Yeah,
but
that whole tweet series was brilliant. Like really, really good.
Still is. Still making.
I'm still really happy about that 25 watt head.
Yes.
Direct recording.
That's amazing. That's
nice indeed.
Good company. Really good company.
Joe Branton, what have you been up to?
Yes. Well, just seeing you guys and filming all that stuff.
We have, seen each other a lot. It's really disappointing.
I'm buying two basses.
Okay, so talk us through this.
So I've been having a chat with Music Man, and they have agreed to endorse me and through via my band.
So this is the latest in the companies that you've wasted their time pretending that you're going to buy something.
But I actually am buying two basses from them. So I'm getting. Do you remember the Sterling Ray 34s?
Yes.
Remember those? So Sterling, for people that don't know, are the sub company of Music Man, named after Ernie Ball's son, Sterling Ball.
Named after, like, just the way that sentence was composed was really funny. Yeah. Sterling is the company named after Ernie Ball's son, Sterling.
Okay. Yeah, but it is quite complicated
because
of course, before Sterling was grown up, when Sterling was much younger, Ernie Ball wanted there to be a Music Man Stingray bass that was small enough for his son to play. So they released the Music Man Sterling, which was essentially a small body, but as far as I'm aware, full 34-inch scale.
Yeah, they are.
Version of the bass. So there is a Music Man Sterling, but now there is a company called Sterling Music Man as well. So it is
You can get a Sterling, can't you?
No, they're called SB...
SB4s. Yep.
In Sterling. So yeah, but essentially that is a Sterling.
Yes.
I don't know why they didn't go with that. That's so much better.
Sterling.
Mm. But yeah, so anyway, I'm not going for a Sterling because they're small and weird. I am going for two Stingrays. One fretted. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, the one that's Sterling is a fretless model, classic model. So it's like a vintage lacquered neck in black with a torque guard, single 8-pole pickup in the bridge, and a 2-band EQ. And the other one I'm going for, which is the full Music Man, is a Music Man Stingray HH, so the double humbucker configuration in vintage sunburst with a maple neck.
We're paying you too much to do this podcast.
That is true. You pay me a lot.
Yes, you're big money.
Yeah,
big money Branton, that's what they call you.
Yes.
So why are you getting two basses?
Because if I'm going to be endorsed by them, I've got to play them.
Okay.
And my band playing several tunings.
Okay.
Which means I'd inevitably have to...
Why is one of them fretless?
Because I've been meaning to make that jump for some time, and now I'm forcing myself into it by spending loads of money.
Have you owned a fretless bass before?
Yes. I used to own a 1979 Ibanez Roadster.
I don't remember that.
No? Well, I've spoken about it before. You never saw it. I saw it before I met you. But that was probably one of the best instruments I've ever owned. Bartolini pickups, retrofitted.
First bass guitar I ever played.
Really?
Yeah.
Such good bass.
Not fretless, but...
Yeah, this was maple neck fretless. It'd been played so much that the A string used to like get proper stuck in the sort of worn away area of the neck.
Nice.
It was great. It was the 2x2 headstock rather than the 4 in a row as well, which I preferred.
Oh, no.
You like the four in a row.
Four in a line. Definitely. P-bass style. Yeah. P-bass pickup?
P-bass and a jazz bass. Both. Bartolini only in the bridge, and then a white pickup in the...
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
That was weird in the 80s, wasn't it? When they just went, oh, you know what looks great? White P-bass pickups.
Yeah. It was a bit strange. of course, shortly after the Elite range of Fenders came out with sort of white pickups that looked... like giant plasters.
Classic.
Yeah, they were weird though.
But those American standard P basses at that time had just regular P bass pickups that were white as well.
Yeah, but they had two of them because they were double, weren't they? They did
sometimes. Normal American standards just had those weird like mid 80s P basses that are Sienna Sunburst with a white pickguard with white P bass pickups.
Worst finish.
Yeah. So weird. Anyway, my only news this week is that I think I might be having a midlife crisis.
Oh, no. What have you done? Who is she?
I quite like a PRS.
Oh, right.
Which is very unlike me. obviously, you know, Tellys, Les Pauls, even Strats. Even a Strat. But I've never liked a PRS. I saw one this week.
Oh, no, this isn't that awful one that you put a pitch. This is so weird, because there are a few good PRSs at the moment.
Well, of course, yeah. I'll say this is the first time I've liked a PRS. We all talked about the Vela in Gear of the Year time, which actually is an amazing guitar.
And there's another one that begins
with M. The
Mirrors.
Yeah, like the Mirrors. Mira, like those. Yeah. I even liked the Starla, which was the kind of Gretsch-inspired one with the Bigsby and the... But this is the first time I've ever liked one of the traditional, you know, like Custom 24, Custom 22, CE body shapes. Matt, have you got some details of it there?
I was just trying to find it, actually, because I remember seeing it. It's the one with the crazy...
Like half, well, it's half rosewood, half maple.
Yeah,
isn't
but
it
like
what? Oh, is it actually? It's not, painted on.
No, I don't think so. I think it's so. Like normally, the if you've got a PRS with the birds inlays, the quite often they'll do. They'll either do the inlays as like they might be mother of pearl or like perloid or. Maybe they're not mother of pearl. Maybe they are mother of pearl. I'm not sure. There'll be like a perloid, or there'll be sometimes they'll do it where they'll put like maple inside the rosewood. But this is done. It's kind of like
it's like they've slotted two pieces of wood together, isn't it?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it's a more extreme version of when Fender did the channel bound.
Yeah.
Where they slid the what PRS have done is actually a lot more intricate.
Yeah. Because so just to set the scene for those who haven't seen it, it's essentially it goes from kind of a full like
if you're by the bridge
on the net if you're. I mean,
you're going to go the other end.
If you're at the bridge end of the neck looks totally rosewood. And as it goes up, you can see that it kind of almost fades into like a picture of the PRS birds. Like as you go further up the neck, the birds kind of.
It's
kind of
like, not rosewood, is it? It's Zerikoti.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Zerikoti fingerboard with the same top. And then it's like curly maple binding and African ribbon mahogany back and sides. I didn't realize it was so limited.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I thought it was like a one-off, but they're making 20 of them, so they're going to be about 10 grand.
Am I right in thinking it's part of the Guitar of the Week?
I think I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure I read that on PRS's website. They used to do a Guitar of the Week.
I think they've always done like, this is a private stock that's sort of like come out of the factory.
Well, they used to have an actual program. They used to have an actual program called Guitar of the Week, and I think they're doing that again. And then they're doing them in really limited numbers, and this is one of those.
I don't know about that, because that's still still like 1,000 guitars.
It definitely says Guitar of the Week on their website.
Right, well. Yeah. I mean, if they're only... if they're doing 50... What did you say? There were 50
or 20.
So, yeah,
well,
I mean...
It's engraved with April in the headstock. So is it a Guitar of the Month, maybe?
Maybe it's Guitar of the Month, not Guitar of the Week.
Okay, that would make more sense.
Yeah, maybe you're right, actually. Maybe it's Guitar of the Month. So
it's engraved... Definitely do a Guitar of the Week. They basically just post up pictures of five guitars that they've just, like, built that week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Guitar of the Month, April 2016. Birds of a Feather, the Pauline Quirk signature.
Oh, I love how that you hadn't rehearsed that and it just come out of you just pulled the Pauline Quirk reference. For American listeners,
Pauline Quirk is just a national treasure.
Just Google Pauline Quirk and maybe Birds of a Feather.
National treasure. We all
I sort of wish you'd gone with Leslie Joseph.
She started a music school or an acting school.
Really?
Yeah, she did. Because
her acting's proper rubbish.
She's.
I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh no! Sorry, Dorian.
Dorian.
Matt, tell us a bit more about the guitar.
Where is? I had a list of the specs. So yeah, April's guitar of the month. I was just actually having a look at the other guitars of the month they've done, and some of them have done some pretty like mental guitars. So standard kind of wide fat neck for PRS, but yeah, this Zericote top. I think that's how you pronounce it. Z-I-R-I-C-O-T-E. Just a wood that I've not heard of, but it looks very similar to like, I suppose like a rosewood in a way. I thought it was rosewood at first, but yes, yeah, very similar to rosewood with mahogany back and sides, curly maple binding, and I think that's what makes up the headstock and the top end of the fretboard as well. So I can't work out how they've done it. I can't say if that the...
It does look like it's kind of a jigsaw as well.
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of slotted together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's sort of a sense, doesn't it? The way that the bird... markers are used in PRS, sort of going down the neck. These ones get more and more until it's a big swarm of birds made out of maple, and that's why the whole of the neck is.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be all laser cut because that's what PRS do with a lot of the kind of intricate inlays, and it's a lot with what Taylor do as well. So I'd imagine that the whole fretboard's done that way, and then it's just they overlay one on top of the other. But it looks kind of cool. It's a very I don't know. I kind of wish that they'd maybe just put like a flame maple top on it and then kind of done it in a cool colour or done it in a burst colour.
That's what I like about it. I like that it's got this ridiculous neck, but the body is like quite understated. It's not crazy flame. It's actually...
Oh, of course, it's semi-hollow as well.
Yeah. So if they'd done, even without the neck on there, I think I would still quite like the guitar. But that fretboard is just bonkers. It's like so... I've never seen anything like that. That's really unique.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I was just actually. I tell you what is more impressive is the one that their guitar of the month for March, which is like a single cut arch top in like this amazing blue. I was like, oh, actually, that guitar looks pretty damn incredible. But I think it's that thing with PRS, isn't it? It's because I was asking the guys at PRS about it, and you can effectively spec up a private stock custom 24, so you don't even have to go crazy. But all you're doing there is basically selecting from a much, much higher grade of wood or a selection of woods that you wouldn't normally get access to.
Before we dive into some news this week, we're going to cut to Jay Cross for the Guitar Nerds Pauline Quirk update.
Pauline Quirk does indeed have... She's got... this is a bit more full on than this. Pauline Quirk has got an acting academy. Well, it's an academy for performing arts. Stop that. An Academy of Performing Arts, which is it gives training to
PQA
4 to 18 year olds, and there are tons of them. It's like there must be 100 locations.
Tons of 14 year olds.
Brighton on there.
Brighton is on there.
Oh yeah. Let's go.
There's the Pauline Quirk Academy in Brighton.
I can 100% see Joe Branton going to study acting at the Pauline Quirk. That guy who's one of the teachers even looks like you.
He does look like
him. He's got a good moustache.
But they do.
That.
This is really cool, actually. Like, it appears to be like something for, you know, like an extracurricular. Anyway, it's the sort
Pauline
of nothing
Quirk
really to
fans.
Do with nothing to do with guitar notes. But it's Pauline Quirk is doing something great for the youth.
Great acting school. PRS. Well done,
four
Pauline.
To 18-year-olds who are interested in musical theatre, acting, and comedy.
4 to 18 or 18-year-olds. In 100 locations.
There's only space for 4. I don't know.
And that was Jay Cross with the Guitar Nerds Pauline Quirk update. Now over to Joe Branton with the news.
News.
So it's been Music Messer.
1 week since you looked at me.
Yeah, it's been 1 week since you looked at me. Nod your head to the side and said, I'm angry. 3 days since the living room.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're doing.
Chicken of China,
the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your face does stick in. Watch the next files with the lights on. The anime's on.
I hope the Swagger Man's in this one. It's been Music Messer 2016 this week. We talked about.
I can't help it if I think you're funny when you're mad. Trying hard not to smile, though, I feel bad.
We talked about this a bit last week in the Patreon episode. We covered the new Boss products, the Boss Waza Tuner and TU3S. And a couple of other bits, but some more news has come in since then. First up, Blue Guitar have announced the Blue Box. Matt Knight, what's the deets?
It's a blue box. It is the, I suppose, in a way, the cab sim to go with his amp in a box. So he did the Blue Guitar. I can't remember what they called it now. What the amp was called?
It was called the Blue Guitar.
One, yeah, but wasn't it like Blue Guitar 1 or something?
Yeah, Blue Guitar, yeah, something like that.
Oh. But it was 100 watt direct into a cab amp in a box, basically. This is 16 virtual cabs in a box featuring everything from Marshall to Mesa Boogie with a direct line out, line in, and then also a speaker through, which is quite cool. So you can basically... I suppose it's an advancement on the like Hughes and Kettner Red Box, where so you can go out of your head into this, into your speaker cab, so you're on stage or miking up, you're still going to have your, you know, 112, 212, whatever, but you've got a line out that gives you all the different cab models, and then you can just mic position from edge to center with like a continuous control. So yeah, quite a cool bit of kit for recording, but it also is a load box, so it'll also be used for silent recording, so you can basically plug your head straight into that and, you know, record your 100 watt head at, you know, bedroom levels, basically.
That's cool. There's a few boxes doing this. I mean, obviously we use the Torpedo cab by Two Notes, but they do quite a few different solutions as well that are actual kind of load bearing solutions. Much like this sounds like it is.
Yeah, basically it was completely load bearing. So yeah, you can plug your head into it, and then live, you know, if you're trying to get a decent sound recorded live, or if you just want an alternative take, you know, DI feed straight from that, but also still mic up the cab as well.
Indeed. There's a lot of cool things coming out that are trying to do this, basically giving you access to use your existing guitar head, but be able to do like home recording and stuff. So yeah, could see another one on the market. Our friends at Magnetic Effects announced the Vortex. Jay Cross, I believe you got some details.
Yeah, the first thing that to say about the Vortex is it's another pedal to add to my growing list of pedals that are called the same thing by two different companies.
Oh,
because I'm a big fan of
TC Electronic.
The TC Vortex, and there's also the
Digitech do them.
Crayon as well.
Oh yeah, there's two different companies.
Crayon's not the same name as Vortex.
Oh no, I think I must be I'm out then. Yeah, where's these details gone that I had a bit? It looks really good, doesn't it, the Vortex? So I'm excited about this because you went absolutely bananas for the...
White Atom.
For the White Atom.
Best fuzz on the market.
I don't like fuzz pedals, so I was sort of a bit like, oh, I'm not really sure about this company.
It's hands down my favourite fuzz on the market. It does such a wide range of sounds that... I just think you don't need anything else. It just is such a good pedal. And then obviously we demoed the Satellite this weekend, which I missed. You didn't get to hear it. Yeah. Me and Matty both liked it. I think more than we were expecting to, because it is just another kind of...
It was quite a vintage-y fuzz.
Well, the Satellite wasn't really a fuzz. So I guess that was more of a kind of...
Oh, am I thinking of something else?
You're thinking... Yes.
You're thinking of the Ramble Effects, which we didn't get around to.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely looked at the box and went,
oh, wait.
That's cool.
What was the Satellite then?
I guess it was kind of more kind of transparent overdrive, I guess.
Yeah. A term that's kind of like banded around quite a lot, but it's actually, it was quite nice because it had the active EQ on it. I suppose it had the same control setup as Spark Booster from
yes,
TC.
Very
volume,
much like
gain,
that. Yeah.
Treble, bass.
Yeah, definitely. So Jay, tell us about the Vortex.
The Vortex is really interesting, actually. It's a very, very interesting way to look at setting up this pedal. So what they've done here is they have done a boost pedal with an optional echo effect, which you can bleed in with a mix control. Now, I think that's a really interesting way of doing things, because normally what you would expect for something along these lines is you would expect like someone like Ibanez or Earthquake or someone maybe to do a delay pedal or a reverb pedal that's got a boost in it, either as standard so that you get, you know, a bit of a boost when you turn it on, or that you can, you know, switch on and off with a secondary foot switch. But what Magnetic have done here is they've actually done, no, what our most important effect here is this boost effect. And we're also going to offer the echo control as, you know, to supplement it, as opposed to being the sort of focus of the pedal, which sounds really cool. Really, really cool. The boost can be, the boost has also got a gain control, so you can go from sort of pretty sparkly, clean boost to a bit more of a gainy, gritty boost. And then, yeah, you've also got two controls for the echo in repeats and time. So I'm really excited to hear this. I think this will be really, really cool.
I'm sure we'll get a chance to play on one. The guys from Magnetic Effects have been pretty good at sending us some stuff over to have a play and give away and things like that. So, yeah, and it looks well cool.
It does look really weird. I mean, it's called a vortex, and it looks like you're sort of entering a
Stargate
vortex when you look at it. I'm really, really into this. I'm really into the idea of this. So yeah, I look forward to hearing this.
Just another company just absolutely cranking out the pedals.
And again, keeping in line with the, you know, the chassis that they've done on the with the White Atom and everything else. Top mounted jack inputs.
Yeah, so I like that.
You could basically have a whole board of Magnetic Effects without taking up that much space.
Yeah.
Just route everything through the top of the pedal.
It says on the website that it's limited edition. Do you reckon that it'll end up being a standard production thing? I wonder how limited it will be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know.
It's not a very standard effect, I guess.
No, it's
kind of cheap as well. I mean, 115 quid.
Yeah. Yeah, considering it's all hand-built in London, they're pretty impressive.
115 quid. I'm really excited to hear this. I think this will be really, really cool. Really cool.
Definitely.
Now, I wonder whereabouts in London he is. Maybe I can go and say hello and do something for Guitar Nerds.
That'd be cool.
His house or something.
That'd be cool. Let me I'll drop him an email. Let's see. Yeah. He might even listen to the podcast, you never know. So
he's done some other limited edition ones that they don't seem to make anymore that look quite cool as well. So be definitely good to, because I was gonna try and arrange that with Ranger Effects actually. I was in touch with David Ranger again, and his studio is based near Denmark Street, and he was like, oh, you should come over. So maybe we'll get a chance to go over and check out some of the Ranger stuff.
That'd be cool.
That he's working on.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Definitely be good to get the inside scoop from some local builders. I think that'd be really cool. Really cool, yeah. Indeed. So one last bit of news from Music Mesa itself, and then we're going to talk about some of the new Gibson stuff announced this week. This bit of news is from our friends at Yamaha, who have announced the Trans Acoustic. Matt Knight, have you got some deets?
I don't actually. This is one of the only ones that I have yet to like properly look at.
Okay, well,
but I remember you mentioning it at the weekend, and I was like, this seems very weird.
Well, while you're frantically googling, I'll tell you a little bit about it. So Yamaha have announced this new Trans Acoustic range, where essentially you're getting delay or like reverb and chorus effects out of an acoustic guitar, not plugged into an amplifier. So the way they've done it, from what I can work out, Matt, once you've got the info there, you can back me up, is there's some sort of actuator built into the guitar that's using the vibrations of the guitar itself to then, like, essentially then, like, add delay and add chorus? Have you got some deets there, Matt?
So there's something fitted inside the guitar that vibrates in response to the string vibrations. These vibrations then carried by the body of the guitar and the air inside and out, generating reverb and chorus sounds without the need for external effects.
There we go. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, I was just I don't know. It doesn't seem to go into it much more than that.
No,
it's very weird though.
They've been quite vague.
I don't like this voodoo magic. That doesn't seem right to me.
If you watch the demo video on the site, it's pretty weird. The fact that he's just playing the acoustic and there's like reverb coming out of the guitar is quite bonkers, really. It's yeah, it'd be interesting to see one of those in the flesh.
I'd like to watch the video demo and then kind of make my mind up. But yeah, I'd like to hear one and kind of be like, yeah, that is odd, but kind of cool though. Talking of reverb and delay, I haven't mentioned the Ocean Machine.
I was going to say,
if you're listening to the podcast, you may have just heard Joe Branton whispering into Jay's ear saying,
sensual. Don't do the Moor thing. What Joe was doing was, whilst I was on the Moor website, Joe whispered,
I didn't know if you'd seen it.
The Moor thing.
Right, okay.
The signature thing.
Oh, the signature thing. Okay. So this week, Moor, sort of out of nowhere, announced a new pedal, and this is a very, very weird announcement for Moor, I think.
They actually announced three, because bizarrely enough, they've actually brought out another series of pedals called the Reverie series, which is there's a reverb and chorus, a bit like the Shimverb Pro.
Yeah.
And then this one, like, as you'll go on and say, is like completely bonkers.
So the Ocean Machine is like nothing like Moor have ever done before.
I mean, it has maybe 20 controls.
Yeah, so first of all, there's the sort of the chassis itself. Now, I don't think I've seen a picture of it in situ, so I don't know exactly how big it is.
It looks quite small because the little switches on it look very large.
I would say it's probably a tiny bit smaller than a Timeline or, you know, the bigger Strymon pedals.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's going to be of a substantial size for Moor.
Yeah.
It's also a signature pedal, which I don't think they've done before.
No.
So this is a signature pedal that's been produced in collaboration with Devin Townsend from Strapping Young Lad, which is pretty bananas.
Probably the most endorsed man in music.
No, about Bonamassa.
Bonamassa, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And Devin Townsend has like a PV, Petrucci. A Framus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ran out of two. But
yeah. He's got two things. Now he's got three things.
Yeah.
So.
But this looks really, really cool. So it's a delay and reverb pedal that's also got a looper built in. So you can have two delays running concurrently, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and with a reverb.
And a reverb running as well. So you can have three effects running at once.
And you can
But the cool thing
the,
is, you can still
the
use
order.
The looper.
Yeah.
You can still use the looper as well.
And still use the looper, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So and it's also got like an LCD screen as well.
Well, that's how you can see what order
selected.
You've got it in.
Oh, okay, right.
So you can switch around those two delays, the reverb and the looper, into any order that you want to create different sounds, which is great. That's so versatile.
It's really, really versatile. And it's, you know, I think that this is a very, very exciting announcement for Moor, because I think this is them taking a real big step away from...
Copycat.
Yeah, absolutely. From just being another, you know, another Chinese company producing another Tube Screamer copy or another Proco Rat copy or, you know, another... you know, cheap delay. What they've done here is they've gone, okay, what do people actually want from a pedal? They've gone down the Strymon route. They've gone, what is it that people are using and how can we produce that to a high quality? And, I mean, we've not seen any prices or anything yet, but you know that this is going to be relatively cheap.
Definitely going to be sub 200 quid.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well.
And actually, bizarrely enough, I thought, because I've been, since the announcement the other day, I've been trying to dig around on the internet to see if there's any information about it, because it doesn't seem to be much from...
Because it's not on their website or anything, obviously.
No,
well, they're
of course
all, they're,
not.
They're all at
Although,
Music Mixer. Although,
bizarrely enough, I saw you can buy Moor pedals directly from the Moor website, which is weird. But bizarrely enough, I've just gone onto their Twitter page and just been like, oh, I wonder what they're actually, you know, if they're particularly active on Twitter. They've got, they've got some demos of this new reverb. But then they're also like, oh, this also came out of Music Mixer. The Micro Drummer...
What?
Which is, this was announced, this was announced, apparently Moor Audio retweeted this on January 13th, so this must have been a NAMM thing that's still not quite made it out. It's Yeah, the Micro Drummer, which basically looks like a Trio with one foot switch that's just got selectable drum patterns, an organ machine.
What?
Called the Moo Organ.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a demo of that. It sounds okay.
They've got a couple of other wah pedals by the looks of it as well. And then an Ensemble Queen bass chorus.
There you go, Joe Branson.
All right.
And a mini volume pedal.
Is the Morgan in a mini box?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I suppose the thing is with... I don't know. I think it's one of these things where we're going to see the Ocean Machine now and then it's probably not going to arrive for absolutely ages.
I mean, it'll take them 2 weeks to manufacture the 18 rotary controls that are on the front of it.
I don't know. I wonder if... I'm sure it will surface at some point. I'm just wondering when. Mainly because I want one, but...
I've just remembered I did see this in situ. I saw this up against a... you know the little amps they did, little BM or the Monster BM or something.
Yeah.
The little Monster BM, something like that. They did a basement, they did an AC, and it looked the same size face on as one of those little Moore amps. Yeah. So relatively large. And speaking of amps, they've also done a programmable mini head as well.
What?
Yeah, I saw that on there. They're so dreadful at getting any information out.
Yeah.
I saw it. The only place that I saw it was when I shared this picture from the Moore Facebook page into the Guitar Nerds group. But if you click through that album, it also takes you to some of the other things that they've announced. And one was a programmable. I think it was a four channel programmable head.
Still like five
solid
watts,
solid state right. Solid state, so it was not 5 watts, it was more than that, but looked really cool. Like, I think they're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff this year. I'm excited, really excited.
I want to see, because they're obviously the kings of, like, they've got one, or for a long time they had one pedal chassis and they were doing loads of different pedals. I mean, how many more pedals do you reckon there are? 50, something like that?
Maybe more.
In those little micro... I
don't know. I reckon 50.
Yeah, I reckon 50 is probably close to where we are. So they'll probably take that chassis and put other stuff in it. Like, imagine if they start doing, like, a programmable modulation that's got 18 rotary controls on the front, or, like, some sort of multi-effects with that kind of mad amount of...
Could you jump from saying, how many of those mini pedals have they done? They're going to take that chassis and put 18... I thought you meant that chassis.
And put 18 rotary controls on it. See, that now that I would like to see. That would be amazing.
Ranger FX managed to fit something like 7 controls on their version.
That's true. That is true. So, yeah, I mean, I want to see what they do next with that box, essentially, because they probably won't just manufacture them for that pedal. I'd imagine there's going to be, you know, a modulation or some sort of, like, amp modeler or you know, other interesting things. What a bizarre company. And
That'd be good, a Moore take on a Kemper profiling app.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I'm just trying to find the picture of it now. But that was the impression that I got from it. It was just, there was just this one picture of it somewhere and it didn't have any, here it is, that one. The Little Tank D15.
Whoa.
Digital mini amplifier head. So they've got on there high quality digital simulation technology with 25 classic amp head simulation and 20 different types of cab.
So they've made an amp modeler, basically.
Oh. Yeah, Bluetooth auxiliary in, which wireless audio can be played, so you can use it as a stereo.
This is brilliant.
Three
gear of the year.
Well, I mean, if we ever see one.
Well, yeah, the picture in this poster is actually a 3D render.
Yeah, course. Yeah.
They seem like they may be a little way off.
It looks like you've got 3 channels. No, 4 channels.
Look at the amount of buttons there are on
there. I know, it's crazy. And, I'm into it. I think it looks cool.
I just like that it's called the Little Tank.
Little Tank D15.
Again, I'm just going to nip off and have a Little Tank. Anyway, with that, we should probably call it an evening. We're going to go on to the Patreon episode, patreon.com/guitar nerds, and talk about the plethora of new Gibson guitars released this week, including one that's made out of solid gold. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, 24 karat solid gold.
Good, good.
It's going to sound heavy.
If you want to hear that, head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you can hear an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. And normally I say, from $10 a month, you get to be one of our exclusive Patreon backers. But we limited that to 20 people. And guess what? 20 people are now our exclusive backers, which means that there's no more room for anyone else.
Yeah, so up yours.
Indeed. So unfortunately, if you've missed it, for the moment, you've missed out. But do still sign up, because, you know, you can get an extra half an hour every week.
We'll see Birds of a Feather music.
I don't know. We could do Men Behaving Badly instead.
No.
What's the theme music from Birds of a Feather?
These people are our exclusive Patreon backers. Thanks very much.
Mark Rice, Rob Pierce, JD Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Tomset, Laurie Anstis, Moog Gravett, Colin Anderson, and Pauline Quirk.
If only. Thanks for Pauline Quirk for backing Guitar Nerds. Without her, none of this could be possible.
The PQA. Look it up. Pauline Quirk Academy. If you've got kids that are trying to get into music, honestly, I really feel like the Pauline Quirk Academy might be a really cool resource for you. So if you've got kids who are into, want to get into show business, look it up. I realise it. I sound like I'm joking, but this it looks really cool.
What you could do, which would be a better use of your time, is head over to iTunes and search for the Guitar Nerds podcast and give us a 5-star review.
That would be, yeah.
I feel like this week's been good. A couple of Pauline Quirk references. We had a little sing-song of the Bare Naked Ladies. This has got to be worth a 5-star review. And every 5-star review you give us makes us more visible in iTunes and means that more people can get their weekly Pauline Quirk update.
And the more likely Pauline Quirk is to come on this podcast.
If someone can get a picture of Pauline Quirk just with a paper sign that says, "I love Guitar Nerds,"
we'll send you any pedal of your choice.
That's not true. That is not 100% true. We might send you some sort of... No. You'll just get our eternal gratitude. Yeah. And that is worth more than any pedal that we could possibly send you. If you want to hear more of this, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Head over to Twitter @guitar nerds. Head over to Instagram @guitar nerds. YouTube, Guitar Nerds videos. Periscope @guitar nerds. We're doing a load of live video on the Facebook group now as well. I think that's where we're going to do a lot of our live video stuff, because it's good fun and people can comment and stuff. And if you want to follow us individually, @Mark_Random on Twitter, @Matt_Nightsy, @JAYBM1, and @Joseph_900.
What's the Pauline Quirk?
She don't have it. I was just looking to see if Pauline Quirk had Twitter, but she doesn't.
I thought her academy's got an email, website.
It's just PQ Academy.
Oh, right. Okay, so PQ Academy.
No. The website is pqacademy.co.uk, I think.
But you can tweet the Academy as well.
No, only two of the Academies have got Twitter, Cardiff and Canterbury. PQA Cardiff, PQA Canterbury.
Check them out.
Yes, do that. And, you know, if you're on Twitter and you want to tweet the PQA, the PQ Academy, just tell them, check out the Guitar Nerds podcast where they bigged you up big time.
The official Twitter page for the Pauline Quirk Academy of the Performing Arts, the PQA official, only has 4 people following it.
So
4 18-year-olds.
So... Very good. What I think we should all do is, if you follow Guitar Nerds, go onto Twitter and follow the Pauline... What is it? PQA official?
QA official.
Okay, go and follow it, and then they'll be stunned extra followers that they've got.
One tweet.
It'll be good.
PQA wishes all our students a very Merry Christmas, sent on the 23rd of December, 2010.
Good stuff. Thanks for joining us this week. A bit of a weird episode, but I think one of our best. I'm enjoying this
good.
A lot.
It was really good.
Join us on the Patreon where we'll talk about loads of new Gibsons. Cheers. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Boring quirk.